It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. It's our state capitol report, and this week we'll discuss the latest news in the races for governor and U.S. Senate. We'll also break down the impasse between Governor Walker and state politicians, specifically politicians from his own party in the state Senate over Kimberly Clark, which is seeking a tax incentive package before the end of the month, and an effort to keep a plant open in northeastern Wisconsin. We'll get the latest on that. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Bureau Chief. Good morning, Sean.
Hi, John.
And Laura White is also with us. She is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Reporter. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, John.
So let's start with the latest poll results in the governor's race. According to the Marquette Law School poll released last week, Democrat Tony Evers now leads Republican Scott Walker by 5 points among likely voters. You remember that the candidates were tied when the last monthly poll came out. Sean, any ideas on what might account for this?
Well, you saw a little uptick in Democratic enthusiasm in this poll. There was a slightly larger Democratic sample, but really it tracked the rest of the poll. I mean, there were a number of findings in there that Democrats would point to and say, that's looking good for us. I mean, President Trump's approval, which had been kind of flat in Wisconsin, ticked down a little bit. Scott Walker's approval, you know, whether he's doing a good job in office, that went underwater a little bit. So it was one of many findings in this particular poll that was headed up for Democrats, down for Republicans. I guess the grain of salt is that it's a couple months out and that it was within the margin of error.
Yeah, there's what, a 4-point margin of error on this survey?
Yeah, so you have to do, you know, it's plus or minus 4 points. So really, you know, Tony Evers would have to be up by 9 on Scott Walker to be outside of that margin of error.
Okay, so, but still, this is overall good news for Tony Evers. Bad news for Scott Walker, would you say?
It's not where he wants to be a couple months out. I mean, traditionally, Scott Walker, ahead of an election, has managed to either drive that approval rating up or kind of keep it around the 50-50 range before he's on the ballot. So for him to see that number go down at a time when, you know, you look at state government and not a whole lot has changed from the August poll. The budget is what it was. The unemployment rate is still low here. But people's views on Scott Walker are ticking down, and Democratic enthusiasm is going up a bit while Republican enthusiasm was going down a bit in this poll. It's favorable for Tony Evers at this point.
Okay, but there's a ways to go before the election. Laurel, you reported that Mr. Evers used his State of Education message last week to push for a change in budget priorities in Wisconsin. What's he calling for?
So he's calling for a $1.4 billion Department of Public Instruction budget, which is a 10% increase over last year. And he's pushing this at a time where obviously he has a different political platform than this time last year. You know, he does this State of Education address every year to lay out his priorities for the state of Wisconsin, for public schools. And last year he called for more spending, but this year he called for even more spending, and said that leaders in the Capitol really haven't done enough to step up to fund Wisconsin schools. He pointed to the number of referenda that have passed around the state to raise property taxes, and said that I believe he closed out the speech with the winds of there's change in the air. So
what was the response from Governor Walker and state Republican legislative leaders?
So there was a press conference actually before Evers gave the address, and then Walker followed up after as well. So it was a unified message from Republicans that Tony Evers' budget priorities, even speaking about how they extend outside of DPI, are going to lead to tax increases for Wisconsin residents. And they said that's something that Wisconsinites should be concerned about, that that's going to derail the economic growth that the state has seen in recent years. And that's something that we certainly followed up with as reporters with Evers after the address, trying to pin him down on what his thoughts are on income tax increases, the gas tax, which has, of course, been a high-profile political issue for the last several years in Wisconsin, and sort of where he is on those issues.
As our discussion continues, Sean, I want you to weigh in on another topic that's been a big one in this campaign. We're hearing a lot about how each candidate would handle health care. And when we come back, I want to hear from you on where the candidates are, specifically on the issue of pre-existing conditions, because that's been kind of a hot point in the discussion around the governor's race and in the U.S. Senate as well. So our state capitol report will continue in just a few moments. Laura will be along with us as well to talk about some of the other issues that are shaping up to be key as our races continue, November just around the corner. All that still to come on The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. This is our State Capitol Report, and I'm joined by Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief, and Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio News State Capitol Reporter. We're getting the latest on the major statewide races on the November ballot and wondering what's on your mind as we head into the election. 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Okay, Sean, we're hearing about how gubernatorial candidates would handle health care and more specifically pre-existing conditions. Can you talk about how incumbent Scott Walker and his challenger Tony Evers are approaching this?
So this is coming up, against a backdrop of a national election where you're seeing Democrats mention health care in their ads and in their campaigns more than you're seeing it from Republicans. So, I mean, you go back to 2010, 2012, every election cycle since, health care and specifically the repeal of the Affordable Care Act has been a bedrock issue for Republicans, something that they have used in their campaigns. And in 2018, you're seeing Democrats come out and say, we want to protect the Affordable Care Act and specifically the ACA's protections for people with pre-existing conditions. In Wisconsin's race, you're now seeing Tony Evers attack Scott Walker for signing off on a lawsuit that would repeal the ACA. Scott Walker is coming out and saying, well, that's true, but I support a state bill that would offer people protections if they have pre-existing conditions. The thing is, that state bill is not the same as the Affordable Care Act. According to the experts that I've talked to, it falls short in a variety of ways.
So this is going to be something we'll hear a lot more about between now and November.
It feels like yes. I mean, you don't see it dying down in the campaigns right now. Pretty much every Tony Evers ad or a Democratic ad in the race for governor mentions schools, health care, roads as their issues. Mm-hmm. The fact that Governor Walker is now wading into this with his own ads talking about pre-existing conditions give you a sign that they feel like they need to respond on that one. And in the U.S. Senate race, it is definitely at the forefront with Tammy Baldwin bringing it up there.
Well, let's talk about the Senate race, because we also have that high-profile contest here in Wisconsin between incumbent U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin and Republican challenger Leah Vukmir. Laurel, can you break down the latest poll numbers on that race for us?
Yeah, those poll numbers are actually really interesting, John, because we saw a major shift last week. We got a new poll from Marquette University, and it showed that Baldwin is currently leading Vukmir in this little snapshot by 11 points. And that had gone up from just a 2-point lead, I believe, in the previous month's Marquette poll. So there was a shift, I believe, as Sean mentioned earlier, in the makeup of this poll. It leaned a little bit more toward Democrats. I think respondents, 46 or 47% of respondents said they were Democrats. It was one percentage point more than Republicans. So there was a little bit of a shift toward Democrats in this poll, but certainly not an 11-point shift, which is what we saw for Tammy Baldwin over Leah Vukmir at this point. So there's definitely some moving and shaking happening in that race.
Well, one might assume that likely Walker voters would be likely Vukmir voters. So why aren't the numbers on this race closer to what we see in the governor's race?
That is such an interesting point, John. And that's something that people have been talking about a lot in this race. The power of Scott Walker at the top of the Republican ticket and Tammy Baldwin at the top of the Democratic ticket, and sort of their abilities to turn out voters in their respective parties and how that will have an effect on the down ballot races, we call them. So, you know, there's clearly a disconnect that's happening there where Tammy Baldwin and Tony Evers aren't in the same place. Scott Walker and Leah Vukmir aren't in the same place. So that's something that we're going to have to keep an eye on as this continues to evolve. You know, we talk about polls like they're gospel. Of course, we know that polls are just a little snapshot in time. We know that they can be wrong. They're just a little glimpse into what voters, a particular set of voters, are feeling at a specific point in time. But those connections between those candidates is something we'll certainly keep an eye on.
Well, and we're still more than a month out from the actual election, so there's plenty that can happen here. When our conversation continues, we'll continue to talk about state politics, specifically what's going on between the governor and Republican leadership in the Senate regarding the Kimberly Clark situation. That's all still ahead on our state capital report. Sean Johnson and Laurel White are with me here on the morning show, and you could be too at 800-642-1234. What do you think of this Kimberly Clark thing? Should the state be stepping in there or not? That's still to come on The Morning Show. I'm John Munson. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Governor Scott Walker wants the legislature to return this month to consider a $100 million tax incentive bill to keep a Kimberly Clark plant open in the Fox Valley. He's getting some resistance from some fellow Republicans in the state legislature. How do you feel about a tax incentive package for Kimberly Clark? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, ideas@WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Bureau Chief, and Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio News State Capitol Reporter. They joined me this morning on The Morning Show. Laurel, let's go to you. Kimberly Clark has declared a self-imposed September 30th deadline for the state to come up with some incentives to keep one of its Fox Valley plants open. That could have some big consequences. Remind us of what's at stake.
So this Kimberly Clark incentive package is something that's been floating around in the state capitol for several months now. It passed the state assembly earlier this year. I think it was February, I believe, that it passed the state assembly. And this is a Foxconn-style incentive package. That's what they're calling it. And that's because it is modeled after the deal that was offered to tech company Foxconn to come to Wisconsin and build their plant here. It's a credit on the number of jobs that are created, and also a credit on the capital expenditures that they use to build a facility. So essentially it's saying to Kimberly Clark, which announced in January that it was going to close down some facilities in Wisconsin, hey, we will offer you these incentives that we're motivating to Foxconn if you say that you will keep these facilities here in Wisconsin that employ about 600 people.
So how much money is Kimberly Clark looking to get from the state? We've heard a $100 million mm-hmm. figure. Is that accurate?
Yeah, and of course it depends on if both facilities that we're talking about stay open. There are two different facilities. I believe in recent weeks it's been narrowed to, it seems more likely that the incentives would be targeted at just one of those. So it's possible that one, not both of the facilities stay open. So the number would change a little bit depending on how many jobs are retained, what the salaries are for those jobs. That's part of the condition that the state has or would have with the company is what those individuals are paid when the jobs are mm-hmm. retained, and how much money they need for capital expenditures. So it's a little bit of a sliding scale, but that $100 million is at the top.
Let's take a phone call. Lori is with us in Vernon County. Lori, thanks for joining us on The Morning Show today.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm opposed to another corporate giveaway. This is a fear that many of us had when we started with the Foxconn. I would be interested in having a discussion about employee ownership. I would much rather see all this money that the state seems to have go into funds for employees to buy these corporations or these facilities. That way, that, you know, they're not going to move away, and we could maybe invest in our cooperative structures as well. Thank you.
Lori, thanks for the call. Sean, that could be an example of why the governor is facing some headwinds from his own party. He's asked the legislature to return in special session to consider the tax incentives bill for Kimberly-Clark. So far, kind of a tough sell. What are we hearing from skeptical lawmakers?
Yeah, he hasn't made a formal call that we want you all to get back into special session. And I think that's likely because of where the votes are at and kind of the political realities of where the Assembly and Senate are at on this right now. In the Senate, there's an 18-15 Republican majority. That means that unless they get some Democratic votes, they can only afford to lose two Republicans. And there are already two Republicans out there who are saying, we don't support this deal. I mean, you had the Republican Party pretty firmly behind the Foxconn deal, even though it was, you know, a large pot of state money for one specific company. And there are a lot of Republicans who, in theory, are opposed to that. At the time, they said, well, this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Now the Kimberly-Clark bill comes up, really just a few months later, and they're viewing that one differently. You've had Chris Kapinga, for example, being the most outspoken, saying pretty early on in this that he's not going to vote for it.
Well, and this is what some of the people who opposed the Foxconn deal said. Well, okay, once we do this, then the companies are going to be lining up, and what are we going to say to them? And now this is what we see. What about those who are in support of this package? Who are they, and what are they saying?
I'd say one key supporter, and the reason this takes on a little added political significance, is Roger Roth. He's the president of the state Senate. He's also up for re-election this fall. He's from the 19th Senate District up in the Fox Valley area. Roger Roth represents a district that I think in another year you might say, well, that's a safe Republican district. President Trump did win this. Scott Walker won it handily in 2014. But President Trump only won this district by about 7%. In 2016. So if we are seeing a shift to the left in this year's electorate, and we had some special elections this year where Trump won, for example, the 10th Senate District in Western Wisconsin by 17%. Democrats won it in a special election. Trump won the 1st Senate District by about 17%. That's up in a Door County area. Democrats won that district. So if we're seeing that kind of a shift, Roger Roth could be feeling a little heat on this particular issue, especially since you're talking about, 500 jobs or so that are potentially at risk.
So Governor Walker has said the bill would need the help of Democrats to pass. But are there any Democrats out there who would take him up on that offer?
At this point, they have their own bill, basically. I mean, they're talking about kind of a super fund for papermakers to help them modernize. They are not talking about this bill, the so-called Foxconn style incentives. I haven't heard any Democrats say that's what we want. And so, if the Senate were to come back to the floor, I guess they would be put on pressure. There would be different pressure because they'd have to be on the record one way or another on this. But they do have an alternative that they say they want, and it is not really close to this one.
Laurel, why do you think there's been less enthusiasm among Republicans for this package compared to what we saw with Foxconn?
Well, I think you really hit on it earlier when you said when the Foxconn debate was happening, there were some who voiced concerns that it would set a precedent. What happens when other companies come saying, we want to come to Wisconsin, but we need the same thing Foxconn got, or companies like Kimberly-Clark that already exist here and say, well, if you were able to provide that to another company, we would appreciate that as well. So I think that's been a big part of the debate as this has come back up in recent weeks and people are being pushed to sort of have positions on the issue as this September 30th deadline looms. I'm hearing that there are conversations of setting that precedent and kind of reinforcing the precedent if we do have these two big tax incentive packages that come so close together, because there was the dialogue during the Foxconn debate that this is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. This is a really big deal. This is something that's above and beyond that we wouldn't normally consider. And now just so shortly after, the same conversation is happening for Kimberly Clark. So I think that people are saying we have to draw a line in the sand somewhere, and maybe it needs to be now.
So, Sean, what's the over-under on the legislature getting something done in the next week on this?
I just don't think the odds are really great at this point. They're talking about like a September 30th deadline. I believe that's this coming weekend. And there's just, you know, there just hasn't been any sign that the legislature, the Senate specifically, is going to come in an extraordinary session and pass what the Assembly passed earlier this year. And it would have to be really, from the sounds of it, it would have to be identical to what the Assembly passed earlier this year, because the Assembly, through Speaker Robin Voss, has said, hey, we already passed something. We're not going to come back and do something different. This is the bill. Take it or leave it. So, you know, there's another case where Speaker Robin Voss doesn't really want his members to come back and deal with this right now. I mean, they're in the thick of campaign season.
So if we pass the September 30th deadline, is it a sure thing that Kimberly Clark will close its second facility?
I think, you know, we'll find out soon. It sounds like they've been kind of firm on it. I mean, Governor Walker was saying recently that the company is firm. So he has a pretty decent, you know, opportunity to communicate with him on this stuff. He's out there. This is basically his bill. And if he's saying September 30th is the date, that's the best information we have to go on right now.
And Laurel, I know that there's a business group in that area that's asked Kimberly Clark to delay their decision. Any chance that that would happen?
You know, I wish I had a crystal ball and could answer that question. I think that would be the million dollar.
You'd be a very rich person.
It would be the $1 million question.
Before we wrap up, I want to ask you both quickly, what else are you going to be watching for in the week ahead for state politics?
You know, I guess in the Senate race, there's some interesting, there's going to be a chance for the candidates to react to this latest Kavanaugh news, potentially a hearing on Brett Kavanaugh. I mean, there's a lot happening there in the U.S. Senate at a crucial time here, just shortly before this election. So we'll be keeping an eye on that for sure.
And speaking of that Senate race and the Brett Kavanaugh nomination, how have the candidates been responding to those allegations?
Senator Tammy Baldwin has said that the allegations against Brett Kavanaugh are credible, and she wants to put a pause on the nomination process. It wants to let the FBI reopen the investigation into Kavanaugh before there's another hearing. Senator Leah Vukmir says she wants to hear from Kavanaugh and his accuser in the hearing at once. She calls the allegations serious, which is, of course, different than credible. So there are differences there between the candidates, and you could expect to see those played out a bit more this week.
And anything else we're looking at? We expecting anything to happen in the state worthy of note in the next couple of weeks as the campaigns continue?
You're going to see some fundraising numbers coming out this week, too, in the state races. So that'll give you an idea of where the money's going, not only in the race for governor, but in the state legislature. If it's flowing to some of these state legislative districts, that tells you that that the people who get involved in these races view those as competitive.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Bureau Chief. Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio News State Capitol Reporter. Thank you both for joining me this morning.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm John Munson. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network.